What's up, ladies and gentlemen, and everybody in between? It's Laying the Points with Farley Betts. What's going on, everybody? Happy Thirsty Thursday. It's April 13th. The NBA playoffs are on the horizon, and I'm here to give an NBA playoffs preview. Playoffs? We're talking about playoffs? Yeah, we're talking about playoffs. And already, the brand of the NBA is already so much better after a few play-in games. We got some great games. How about the Bulls coming back against the Raptors? How about the Lakers and Timberwolves? Lakers looking awfully feisty. The Hawks and the Heat, very interesting game. Heat almost came back there. Had some good ones, had some bangers so far. Pelicans, see ya. The Timberwolves still got a shot. Anyway, a lot of great games so far. The playoffs are here this weekend, and we're here to preview them. If you don't know, you should know. My name is Chris Farley, not like the comedian, like the sports better. Farley Betts on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. And you are listening to Laying the Points, a weekly sports betting podcast where we not only go over our picks, our angles, our wagers, but we try to teach you the tenets and tactics to become a successful sports bettor yourself. I know you're probably just a recreational bettor. You like to have some action on a weeknight, on the weekends. I get it. I'm with you, right? I mean, it's not everything I do. I don't only do sports betting, but I have approached this from a professional perspective. I've known some of the best minds in the industry. Of course, I won circa fifth place last year, 114K cash prize. And I've been selling picks and in the industry now for 3 years, hitting at very high rates in the NBA, 57%, et cetera. So I'm a pretty good teacher. Been doing this for over a decade. And I know that there's just a lot of personalities out there that don't really speak to things that well, even if they're trying hard, God bless them. Or maybe they pontificate, they preach down to you a little too much. We're not trying to do that here on Laying the Points. Let's get to it. NBA playoffs preview with special guest me. Because sometimes you just have to have a podcast with yourself. I like listening to my own voice, apparently, because every now and then it's nice just to meet with me, go over what I'm thinking, plan it all out, and just do a pure Farley Betts show. So that's what you got today. Let's get to it. NBA playoffs preview. Let's start with the Eastern Conference, because the Eastern Conference is very interesting. It's interesting because really it's top heavy, right? You got the Celtics, the Bucks, and the 76ers. But is it top heavy? Because this year in the Eastern Conference, man, you got 76ers, you got the Nets, you got the Knicks, you got the Cavs. I mean, some of these teams are loaded. The Knicks are playing really well. Hawks, Nets are better than you think. And the Cavs have such a great roster. But could we see some upsets this year in the NBA playoffs? I think we could. But we'll see what comes of it. Let's start with the Bucks, because the Bucks are either going to face the Heat or the Bulls. Raptors, yeah, the Heat. And, you know, that might be the start of a lot of new beginnings there in Toronto. Nick Nurse might not be sticking around. A lot of the players that they had so much success with in the past are largely gone or maybe looking to leave. That's going to be interesting in Toronto. But this ain't about Toronto. This is about the Milwaukee Bucks smashing somebody. And if I'm the Bucks, I want to face the Miami Heat. Because I don't think the Miami Heat have a shot to beat the Bucks. We saw how susceptible the Miami Heat offense can be. That's why I liked the Hawks the other night. The Hawks have been a more explosive offense, top five in the NBA. Along the past 2 months, basically since the All-Star break, the Heat have been one of the worst offenses in the league, 23rd ranked in defensive efficiency as well. They're not doing much on either end of the floor. They look old, hard to keep up, but the Bucks are hoping that they can beat the Bulls because the Bulls now, you know, the Bucks settled it later in the season, but the Bulls beat the Bucks twice before Milwaukee was at full strength. Now, Milwaukee's at full strength now, but the Bulls can be feisty. We've seen the Bulls against tougher opponents this year play really well. Now, more recently, the Bucks held the Bulls to 92 and 100 points, two wins. So, you know, the Heat, for what it's worth, the Heat also beat the Bucks earlier in the season twice. But I don't think that holds much merit now. Listen, the Bucks, Chris Middleton is back. He's healthy. That's huge for them this year. He was not in the postseason for them last year. I know Drew Holiday is a true number two in a lot of ways, but Chris Middleton is the number two that Giannis needs, because on offense, when there's those tense situations, it's either all Giannis or it's Giannis and Chris Middleton. And Chris Middleton, as good as Drew Holiday is, Chris Middleton is a sure shot. You know, he's got that stroke that when he gets confident, when he gets in rhythm, is really hard to stop. He's absolutely settled down from some of the nerves we saw with Chris Middleton in the past. He's in his prime. It's huge that he's healthy for the Bucks. I think their roster is arguably better than ever, too. I mean, Grayson Allen, you know, the kid is hard to like, you know, played for Duke, always kind of has that shitty look on his face. But he's a good player, and he's working really hard in his shot. I was watching some videos of him, you know, working with the NBA shooting coach. He's a hard worker, and he's been clutch for them in a lot of situations this year. So I like the addition of him on the team. Guys like Bobby Portis are now Milwaukee legends. They've been there a long time. Brooke Lopez is having maybe the best year of his career. You know, the guy can shoot from the outside, shoot from the inside. He's been playing spectacular defense this season. Drew Holiday is as sharp as ever, looks great. A-plus defender, put up over 50 points in a few games ago for the Bucks at the end of the season. Can score with the best of them. And now they got these other depth players like Jay Crowder and Joe Ingles. And let me tell you, Jay Crowder, part of that Suns team, tough guy, disciplined defender, can get that corner three-point shot. Joe Ingles played under Quinn Snyder. Obviously has that perimeter shot as well. Good veteran, right? Veteran leadership, guys with a lot of playoff experience. This is the best team in the NBA, if you ask me. I would look for a 4-0 or 4-1 series bets in favor of the Bucks. You're still going to get plus money for those things. I don't have those prices right in front of me right now. I got some other prices in front of me. But I would look for 4-0 or 4-1 series bets in round one for the Bucks. Even if it's the Bulls, maybe the Bulls get one, but we've seen the Bulls sputter before, not being able to find their offense. You know, LaVine came up huge for them in that game against the Raptors, but they certainly have talent. But when you're facing a Bucks team this motivated, and the Bucks have largely owned the Bulls in the past, I don't think it's going to matter, folks. I think the Bucks are going to make a statement in their first series. Let's move on to the Celtics and the Hawks. This is another one where I would look for a 4-0 or 4-1 series bet on the Celtics. Now, on the other hand, if you like the Hawks for some reason, you can get plus money on the Hawks in every single game, right? And you can take them as an underdog, get a few points back with every single game against the Celtics, okay? So maybe there's some value there. I don't see it. Now, Trae Young, he sliced and diced the Heat defense on Tuesday night. I mean, we all saw how great of an offensive player Trae Young can be. But I know there's some controversy there in Atlanta. Maybe he doesn't pass the ball too much, has a big ego. That's going to be a problem when you face a team like the Celtics. If there's any sort of, you know, sentiments on that team that he's not a team player, not passing enough. Now, he passed a lot against the Heat. He was a fantastic facilitator for most of that game. But if you're not in sync against a team like the Celtics, who plays so well together, who now have NBA Finals experience, NBA playoffs experience every year together, and arguably probably the best core roster of two-way players, right? You got great scorers, great defenders on both sides, have a lot of depth. A lot of these guys have been together for a long time there. You know, they're healthy. Robert Robert Williams III should be good to go. Interior defender. Hopefully he stays healthy. Huge, crucial for them in the front court. They'll need him against Clint Capella. We saw what Clint Capella did to the Heat. What, 20-plus rebounds? I mean, the dude was absolutely insane. And the way that the Hawks rebounded in that game in general was insane. That ain't going to happen against the Celtics. And it's just clear that Quinn Snyder's working through the ego issues with Trey and this team. Like, they still feel like a team working through things, right, as a core, as a social experiment. Not the Celtics. The Celtics are used to playing with each other. They're so deep. They've owned the Hawks this season. They've owned them in the past. I mean, they've won their games this season by an average of 10 points per game. I think we're going to see a really good version of the Celtics. They're a little banged up, like not injuries that are going to keep them off the court, but every player has a little something-something from the season, you know? So maybe that's something to be concerned about, but I'm not. I would look for four now. That's that's how people on the Eastern Shore say it here, where my wife is from. I would look for a 4-0 or 4-1 on the series for the Boston Celtics. Let's move on. That's going to be – I think the Bucks and Celtics are going to be dominant. Now, let's get to more interesting series here in the Eastern Conference. Things that – or a series that should be more contentious. 76ers and the Nets. Now, the Nets are better than you think. And I've been saying this now ever since that team got – reorganized, right? Mikal Bridges headed over there. Dinwiddie's over there. What's that dude's name? He used to be on the Mavericks. All these names. Finney Smith, right? Like they have good defenders on that team, good two-way players. Great, like B-plus players are all over that starting roster and that roster in general. And if you show up asleep or not functioning on all cylinders, because of how few egos are on that team, on the Brooklyn Nets, they will surprise you. They will catch you. And I'm looking at advantage, like game one, Nets plus eight, I'm taking that. Because I know the 76ers have been really, really consistent this year. The most consistent that we've seen out of the 76ers has been this season. 58% against the spread. They're one of the best teams in the NBA against the spread. 60% against the spread at home. Okay, and they, you know, throughout the season, right, win. Kept stacking up wins. James Harden playing with less of an ego, less of a ball hog. Joel Embiid at the top of his game, probably going to win MVP. I always think it should be honest, but it's probably going to be Embiid. It's the right story. So, that you know, Philly looks good. They're healthy. Great defense for most of the season, too. Great defensive team. Great offensive team for most of the season as well. However, the psychology of it says the 76ers in these tough spots before have shown to let down, fall asleep a little bit, maybe show some discord. I don't know what that is. I don't know if it's because they don't really have a vocal on-court leader, right? Like Joel Embiid will yell here and there, but James Harden is quiet. Maxey's quiet. Everyone's just kind of quiet. And then you got old Doc Rivers, who – you know, depending on who you talk to, some people hate him, some people love him. I don't know if he's a great coach, but he's done a good job this year. The 76ers are set up, but if I were you, I think a pretty good way to win some money no matter what. Now, of course, 76ers could sweep the Nets. I don't think they're going to. I think they're going to fall asleep one time. So I'd be interested in Nets plus 2.5 series bet, plus 120 on DraftKings. Or I'd be interested in 76ers 4-1 plus 210 on DraftKings. I just think the Nets are going to get one. Remember, this is a Nets team that there was a stretch in early May when they, you know, finally started to show some chemistry. I mean, and really that was only, what, 2 weeks in after the trade, where they covered six straight games as a dog, 9-5 as a dog ATS since that stretch. When the Nets are an underdog and a considerable underdog, they cover. So I would look to bet on the Nets if you get those bigger lines. Like, I think the lines are going to change eventually. Right now, plus eight, that's pretty good. I mean, you need – if you're the 76ers, you need to be controlling that game to cover a minus eight or minus 8.5. I think it's 8.5 now. I don't see that happening. The Nets are going to be contentious. I don't think the 76ers can run away with it. So I would bet on the Nets more than I would the 76ers in this series as far as the spread goes. And I would take the Nets plus 2.5. Also don't mind a 76ers 4-1 series win. Those are both plus money, right? If one of them happens, then you're getting some money back. Cavs versus the Knicks. Very, very interesting series here in the Eastern Conference. The one that's probably hardest to figure out. I mean, the Cavs are the favorite to win at minus 200. But the experience edge is hugely in favor of the Knicks, right? They got guys that have been here before. Josh Hart has been to the playoffs, and what a great two-way player he is. What a great pickup for the Knicks. Like, that's a dude that you know Tom Thibodeau loves, right? RJ Barrett has been here before. Julius Randle has been here before. Obviously, Jalen Brunson was a huge part of the Dallas Mavericks getting so deep in the playoffs last year, and now he's with the Knicks. And the Cavs, look, their roster is great. I mean, those two bigs down low are really hard to defend. Donovan Mitchell levels up this team for sure, gives them that experience at the point guard position, takes some responsibility off of Darius Garland. That's better for Garland. You know, like he's not a player yet who can hold a team, like, you know, score 30 plus every night and really put the team on his back if the team needs it. That's not who Darius Garland is just yet. So they have Donovan Mitchell to do that. They have great depth too. Caris LeVert, Ricky Rubio, Lamar Stevens. They got great depth. But this Knicks team, they just keep on surprising me, playing great defense, playing great offense. I think a big part of that is Jalen Brunson. I think a big part of that is Josh Hart. And I think a big part of that is just this roster being familiar with each other and playing with each other for so long. And, you know, Julius Randle especially, I mean, he's really shocked me this year. Like, he should not be the Knicks' go-to scorer, in my opinion. But he's had some huge games. Now, he's a little banged up right now. I don't think he's going to start this series. I guess we'll see. I need an update on that one. But I don't think they need him, you know, especially with Jalen Brunson out there. Emmanuel Quickley has really come on and been a big scorer in some key spots. Great addition off the bench, obviously. I like the Knicks to win this 4-3. I think it's going to be a very close series. I think a lot of home wins. But I love that experience edge, and I love the Jalen Brunson effect for the Knicks. I think he gives them an edge on both sides of the court. He's an energy starter, great facilitator. I'm taking Knicks 4-3 series win plus 700 on DraftKings. There's some value for you. Eh? Take on the Knicks, the New York Knickerbockers plus 700 on DraftKings. Okay. I don't even know what that accent was. It shifted at a certain point. That's what I'm taking. I think there's pretty good value there. Cavs are a really good team, really solid team. You know, all the stats, great defense, great offense. They're not going to disappoint, right? But you got to look underneath it all. I think some of their lack of experience, some of their injuries this year too, right? We've seen lengths of time where Jared Allen was out, and Donovan Mitchell's on and off a little bit. It's still a newer roster together, and I think the Knicks are going to have just an edge in some of these games because they've experienced these things together, obviously without Jalen Brunson and Josh Hart. But those are two dudes who can probably play for any NBA team and make them better. All right, let's move on to the Western Conference. Now, you got the number one team, the Denver Nuggets. We're going to go up against either the Minnesota Timberwolves or the Oklahoma City Thunder. And who would have thought the Thunder, average age of their players is 23, I think it's like 23 and a half years old. What a game from them. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander coming on strong in the second half. Josh Giddey coming on strong. Luquence Dort, huge first quarter and first half. What an exciting team to like watch them grow. They have a ton of first-round picks the next 5 years. They're going to be a team that's only going to get better, and that's exciting to watch. But do I give OKC a shot against the Nuggets if they make it? I do not. And I don't think that OKC is going to make it. I think the Timberwolves are the better team. Anthony Edwards barely showed up in that game against the Lakers. I think he's probably going to have a huge game against OKC in response to that. Against an OKC team that is better than you think on defense, but they're not stopping an Anthony Edwards. They're not stopping Karl-Anthony Towns if he gets going. And Rudy Gobert is going to be back, and he's going to be pissed off. right? After being suspended, he wants to come back. He's going to be more aggressive, probably going to block more shots, probably going to get more rebounds, especially in response to that little fight that he had on this, on the sideline, on the bench. So I think the Timberwolves are going to make it, but let's just, you know, we'll talk theoretically here. If OKC makes it, look for some overs in those games. As good as OKC's defense can be in some spots, they're not going to be able to stop the Nuggets. Not a lot of teams, not a lot of defenses in the NBA are going to stop the Nuggets, especially at home. I would look for some overs. If it's anything around 235 or less, I would look for some overs there. Maybe even more so in the first half, right? We see these playoff games slow down in the second half. But the Nuggets are so potent at home, 62.5% against the spread. But one thing to note, the Nuggets did not finish the season strong. 8-10 against the spread, 8-10 straight up. Kind of just, you know, cruising into the playoffs, knowing that they're going to be the number one team, protecting that spot, but not really with a lot of momentum. And momentum is a thing, right? In psychology, we know you can literally perform above your normative or even max potential that you thought. You can perform above that with momentum, because momentum is an energy, right? Like it increases output and it refines talent, because there's so much confidence behind you at the time. You can tell I'm not a psychologist the way I just spit that out, all clunky. But the point is, it's a real thing. And the Nuggets really don't have it. And a team like OKC might have it heading into this, especially if they beat the Timberwolves, right? So, you know, you watch for that, those kind of things, and like the opening line for the first game. But ultimately, I think this is a Nuggets team who is probably going to absolutely dominate whoever they play in the first round. The Timberwolves have been feisty. If they make it, their defense has been better for sure. But we saw how they can play at the end of those games against the Lakers, right? Anthony Edwards looked shook. Nobody wanted to shoot the ball. I don't know. I still feel like they're a team that needs a lot of growth, especially with Rudy there and Karl Anthony Towns and making that work. And Quinn Snyder, he's the guy. Like he's going to be able to make it work, but it's too soon. You know, they need a full season with a pro like Quinn Snyder as their coach, really refine all these things. I don't see it happening against the Nuggets team led by Jokic, a group that's really fluid together. I mean, Jokic's role players, Jamal Murray, Michael Porter Jr., Aaron Gordon, KCP, right, Caldwell Pope. They got Bruce Brown and Reggie Jackson off the bench. Guys like Jeff Green and Thomas Bryant can make an immediate impact when they come out. It's a really good roster. It's a really good starting five. It's a really good offense. And the Nuggets defense, it had about one good month all season. So they're going to have to improve on that side, but OKC or Minnesota's offense doesn't intimidate me enough to think that they can win this series. I'm not going to bet this series, to be clear. I don't think there's any real value in like a 4-2, 4-3, 4-1. I think it's fairly unpredictable because of what we saw for the Nuggets recently and because of their lack of defensive skill. Because, I mean, you could argue that Minnesota and OKC are better defenses than Denver, for sure. So I don't know how many games they could steal. Maybe one, maybe two, maybe three. But Nuggets will ultimately win this. They have the home court advantage. They're really good at home. Let's move on. The Grizzlies and the Lakers. What an interesting series. I mean, you got the young guns, right? Ja Morant, Jaren Jackson Jr., Dylan Brooks. These guys have an attitude, right? They're young. They're all like under 24 or 25. They're young. They have moxie, confidence. They attack. I love it. I love the way the Grizzlies play. I mean, some of the off the court stuff, it's obvious there needs to be some more maturation going on there, right? But regardless, on the court, they're a fun team to watch. They remind you of a team like in the 90s who just, they attack and they're very physical and they have attitudes. But they're going up against the Los Angeles Lakers, led by LeBron James, but LeBron James keeps telling us how much he loves this team, right? This is a team where LeBron James feels comfortable, I think, because he doesn't have to do everything anymore. Anthony Davis is playing with an attitude. He's playing with, it seems, very consistent motivation. He's playing hard. You love to see that. You know, I mean, anybody who watches the NBA can say a sentence like this. It doesn't take much talent to say what I'm about to say, like observationally. Anthony Davis, if he was on fire, motivated for every game, could easily be the best player in the NBA. I mean, the guy is 7 foot. He has every skill of a point guard. You know, he should dominate every game. But that's just not what happens from Anthony Davis, right? Just kind of had a cushy situation, I guess. Just he knows he's always going to stay in the NBA. He's always going to make a ton of money. I'm not saying I'm okay with his lack of motivation, but it's just what happens. Not everybody has that killer instinct, right? But it's almost like it doesn't matter with this new version of the Lakers because, I mean, they got Hachimura, Jared Vanderbilt. Those two guys with LeBron and AD, I don't think all four of them are ever on the court together, but when three of them are on the court together, that is a tough lineup to defend. I mean, that is a lot of size, right? A lot of rebounding ability, a lot of rim protection. And that's going to give teams a lot of problems. And we're talking about the Memphis Grizzlies, who are still without Steven Adams. And it looks like Steven Adams is not going to be returning for the playoffs. So they are a considerably smaller team than Los Angeles at this point. And Jaren Jackson Jr. can't do it all. You know, he can't play 60 minutes, or is it, no, 48. He can't play 48 minutes every game and just be blocking, rebounding the whole game. I think the Lakers have an advantage here. I love the chemistry that the Lakers have. Now, don't get me wrong. Memphis has about as high team chemistry as any team in the NBA. You know, they just play really well together. And I think that's because Ja Morant, as lethal as he is, as talented as he is, he'll pass the ball just as quickly as he'll shoot the ball. You know, he's not a ball hog. And I think his lack of ego on the court translates to everybody else. It's about the team attitude. Memphis is, they operate on a really high level when they're in sync. But a team like Los Angeles, with all that size, with a guy like Austin Reeves now coming out of the woodwork, who can nail shots all around the court. They got guys here like Troy Brown, is that his name? They got some lethal perimeter shooters. This Lakers team is coming with they have a lot of momentum, right? I was talking about momentum before. They have a lot of it. Winning a ton of games to end the season, playing well on both sides of the ball. One of the best teams in the NBA statistically to end the season. I think Lakers win this 4-3. I think it's a really, really entertaining series, but ultimately, you know, we all, again, doesn't matter what you think about LeBron James. What he's doing at his age, what is he, 38? What he's doing is insane. The guy doesn't look like he missed a beat. I mean, he beats people up and down the court. And he's still blocking shots on one end and then dunking on the other end. Like, that's insane for his age. I'm about to turn 38 this year. It's insane. Okay. I think ultimately he's the difference, right? Probably makes a game-winning shot in one of these games. Anthony Davis is playing well. Memphis is going to get a few of these, but I love Lakers 4-3. Contentious box office type of series that the NBA really wants to see, and Lakers edge it out because that's also what the NBA wants to see. And I'm not saying that's why it happens, but things tend to happen in that way. Let's move on. Kings against the Warriors. Really fun series to look forward to. I would love it if the Kings, you know, won a series, were a real threat in the West. I think they're going to give the Warriors everything they can handle because I know the Warriors have Andrew Wiggins coming back. Gary Payton II now is being integrated. He's a great defender. He was great last season in the playoffs and in the NBA Finals. Those are two really crucial guys for their defense. They need them. Draymond Green is already talking smack in his podcast. Don't let us win again. Don't let us do it again. I love that. I love how he shit talks. But number one, expect high scoring because the Warriors are still going to – like, I realize Wiggins is back, but I don't think, boom, operationally – that was a terrible snap. I don't even know if you can hear this, but boom. Operationally, I don't think it's just going to happen right away. Like, I don't think you're just going to plug in Wiggins and he's going to be the same defender he was in the playoffs last year. and you're just going to plug in Gary Payton the second, give him a few more reps, and he's going to be just as good as last year. I think the Warriors' defense, especially on the road, is going to take a second to come together and work together at a really high level. So I expect a lot of high scoring. I expect games over 240. I expect first halves over 120. And the Kings, obviously, they can play better defense in some spots, but they're not a good defense. But this has been the best offense all season. And they have impressed me so much. Obviously, their roster, a lot of offensive talent. But they've impressed me so much in really tough spots after the All-Star break. Back-to-backs, tough road spots, really good teams they play against. And they've won over and over and over again. This is a team that believes in each other. This is a team with a lot of offensive talent. Who's to say that they can't, just by pure offensive firepower, knock out a team like the Warriors? I think they could. I don't think it's going to happen, though. I'm going to give the Kings three games. I think the Warriors win game seven on the road in Sacramento. I think this is another 4-3. I'm taking Warriors 4-3 plus 550. Warriors are still the champs, ladies and gentlemen. They are still the champs. Suns versus the Clippers. Very interesting matchup here as well. Now, the Suns, obviously, right, fantastic starting five. Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, Chris Paul, DeAndre, incredible starting five. So much so that that starting five is going to win a lot of games for them in the postseason, because it's more about the starting five than ever before, right? The regular season, you integrate people. You integrate a lot of players off the bench. You try to, you know, you like experiment a little bit. Not in the playoffs. They're going to use those core five. You know, all those guys are going to play over 40 minutes a lot. But they do lack experience together. Kevin Durant, I think he's played, what, like 8 games with the Suns? Hasn't been there very long. Devin Booker, trust me, he loves to be number two. He's in a great spot. He's going to have some good games too. I just think the Clippers are very, very sneaky here. They actually have way more experience together now than a team like the Suns do, at least when it comes to their core, right? Like, obviously, Chris Paul, DeAndre, and Devin Booker have played together for a long time. But Kevin Durant is really going to throw a wrench in that, and it's going to be a very positive wrench for the most part. But he's still a presence on the court that's really powerful, you know, and, like, it takes time to completely adjust to that and become fluid. The Clippers are used to who they are. And I love Norman Powell. I have written here Normal Powell. And I'm like, why does that look wrong? Because it's wrong. Norman Powell is a huge contributor for this team. When you watch the Clippers, watch Powell and the way that he infiltrates, how aggressive he is on both ends of the court. But he creates so much space on offense. He's such a good player. I mean, they still have him coming off the bench. He's probably the sixth man of the year. But he's an incredible player, and he's an incredible energy spark for the Clippers. Like, they need that. You know, like, they need somebody who's going to up it a little bit, because Kawhi, right, like, kind of the way they play is slow, methodical, usually pretty damn good defense. And even more interestingly, Paul George could return right in the middle of this series. He's working really hard at it. Rehabbing 6 days a week. I think the Clippers are going to be really feisty in this. I think they're going to win a few games. I'm taking Clippers plus 2.5. It's juiced. It's a minus 125 on DraftKings. You know, that might only go up. I think the Clippers are going to get 2 games here, folks. And that's all they got to get, right? You got 7 games to win 2. So I think the Clippers make it happen. I guess you have 6 games to win 2, because if you only won 2, it'd be over in 6, yeah. But this is going to be a really interesting series. I do not think the Suns are a predictable winner in the Western Conference, right? Everyone's like, probably the easiest pick. Oh, you just take the Suns. Okay. We'll see, right? But just because you brought down Kevin Durant, by the way, I know you only need that starting five really in the playoffs for the most part, but they lost a ton of depth in that trade. They don't have great depth anymore. So that starting five better be pristine every time they're out in the court. I don't think they're going to be, and especially in this series, it's too early for the Suns to be operating on like a majestic, fluid level. Like, you know, like the Warriors we saw in the playoffs last year, that's an offense that is tremendously hard to stop just because of how much chemistry they have. The ball movement, the space. The Suns are very far from that right now. And it's not just going to, boom. God, my snaps are terrible today. It's not just going to, no. There you go. It's not just going to happen. Right? Click, snap. It's not just going to happen. And the Clippers show that they can play really good defense when they want to. And they could put up some points, especially with a guy like Norman Powell kind of energizing them a little bit. Still got Kawhi. Still got Zubac. You know, you still have some great players on that team. They still have a lot of depth. And like I said, Paul George could return. So I'm taking Clippers plus 2.5 series bet in that one. All right, well, we are well over 30 minutes. We like to keep it around that time for every single podcast we do. Thank you so much for listening to Laying the Points with Farley Betts. NBA playoff preview, ladies and gentlemen. And hey, in case I didn't mention it, we are a white hot 6-1 so far in the playoffs. And my only loss was on SGA scoring over 32.5 points. He scored 32. Okay. He only scored 7 points in the first half. So a little bit of a bad beat there, I would say. Probably should have been 7-0. I'll take a 6-1, though, for well over 10 units so far in the NBA. If you'd like my premium plays, send me a DM at Farley Betts on either Instagram or Twitter. Check me out over there. Some of the best, I mean, I'm just going to say it because it's true. Probably one of the best service providers in the sports betting industry because of the descriptions that I give, because of how easy to talk to. Like, I'll go back and forth with you. I'll answer your questions. And there's a lot of context, right? I'm not just like throwing picks at you, like take this pick because I say so. Like, are you kidding me? Anybody can do that. No, a lot of context. Contact me at Farley Betts on Instagram or Twitter if you're interested in those premium plays. Love y'all. Thanks so much for listening. Catch you next week. We're going to try to bring on a guest next week to get those guests, to get the Rolodex back. A great guest in this show. See you then. Have a great week. Here comes the NBA playoffs. Let's go.